Good morning. Welcome to everyone that's here in person and anyone that is watching us online. And for Pastor Anna, may the fourth be with you. She was a little bit concerned because she always wanted to be able to say that before worship service, and I got the chance to do it. So she was a little envious. So our announcements for this morning. Okay, our basket offering for May, and today is the first Sunday, we'll go to Agape, the Teen Parent Program, and Bereavement Meals. Altar flowers today are given by Minnie Conrad in memory of her mother, Goldie Hedrick. Our birthdays today, Billy Curry, or this week, Allison Lohr and Rosalie Summer. For anniversaries, we have Chad and Caroline Hedrick. And baptisms, remembering baptism this week, will be Madison Lohr Pope, excuse me. Looking at events for this week, Pastor Anna will be back tomorrow from her vacation, and we hope that her vacation was a bit restful. She is sort of a busybody sometimes, and we are greatly blessed because of that. So hopefully she got some physical and mental relief. Sunday school, it says 9:15 in the fellowship hall, but I heard Judy say something about 9:30. Is that next week? Okay. So Sunday school will begin at 9:30 in the fellowship hall and worship at 10:30, and church council will meet immediately following the worship service. And Kim, the Agape Women's Banquet. Would you like to share?
So our Agape's Women's Banquet will be on Sunday evening this year instead of Monday evening. It will be in the fellowship hall, be catered by Southern Lunch. So we need your reservations by next Sunday so we can let Southern Lunch know how much food we need. So I think it'll be a real fun time. We have a Dolly Parton theme, so come with your cowboy boots on if you have them. But we hope all of you will join us.
So are you doing karaoke along with that?
The cost is $10.
Thank you, Kim. This week, remember Paul and Carolina. If you want to send them a card, their address is listed in the bulletin. So prayers for them. And also remember the family of Gene Kepley, who passed away earlier this week. There will be a graveside service today at 2 o'clock in the cemetery. We do have one prayer shawl today, and this prayer shawl is for Chrissy Hedrick. And Chrissy is from Denton, and she has acute leukemia. She is a friend of Nancy Curry and Leanne Curry Pate. So we'll bless this for her. And for our birthdays, baptisms, and anniversaries, let me begin by praying for those who will be celebrating milestones this week. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their heart may your peace, which passes understanding, abide all the days of their life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Are there other announcements? Okay. I do have one for scholarship. If anyone is looking to apply for scholarship, if you will email me, I will email the application and everything so everything can be done digitally on that, so we can get started on that. Scholarship is probably going to wait until the fall to do a fundraiser. So we're thinking about different things, maybe a combination of what we did last year with the auction, the baskets, and things like that. So we're going to work on that a bit. So please keep that in mind. I'm trying to look at October, but I need to get with Pastor Anna to make sure that we have a good date that works and it doesn't conflict with any of the fifth Sunday meals or anything like that. Sorry, I was service, and it'd be kind of odd to just jump into the first hymn after the prelude. Everyone, please stand as able. Alleluia! Christ is risen. In the name of the one who was, who is, and who is to come.
Amen.
Baptized into Christ's death and resurrection, and called to live the baptized life, let us give thanks for the gifts of baptism. Holy God, we give you thanks for the waters of baptism, waters that make a people your own, that restore to wholeness, and empower us to be witnesses in your name. Baptized into you, O living one, make us one as you are one. We give you thanks for the waters of baptism, waters that strengthen believers and give new life to beloved servants of your church, waters that extend your boundless love and cross barriers of our own making. Baptized into you, O living one, make us one as you are one. We give you thanks for the waters of baptism, waters that open the hearts of believers and give a voice in the night to those in captivity. Waters that set your people on a new path, rejoicing in the Spirit's power. Baptized into you, O living one, make us one as you are one. Grant us grace, love, and life, O living one, that our every day is shaped by these waters. We ask this in the name of Jesus, the crucified and risen one. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Thank you. The Lord be with you. Eternal and all-merciful God, with all the angels and all the saints, we laud your majesty and might. By the resurrection of your Son, show yourself to us and inspire us to follow Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. I'd like to ask the children to come forward. Good morning. Brantley, you coming over? All right. Okay. All right. So we'll show and tell to start with. Okay. I'll show, you guys tell. What is it? You know what that is? You don't know what it is? You know what it is? It's a what? What do you do with that, Brantley? Okay, you can use it in your nose, and you can use it in your ears. We call these things, most of us in the South call them Q-tips. Doesn't matter what brand they are, where they came from, they're all Q-tips, right? So what we can use this to clean our ears out, okay? Brantley said you can do it, you can use it in your nose, okay? So if you need to put saline gel or anything up there in your nose, if you're having allergies and things like that, we can do that, okay? Well, do you think that anybody in the congregation needs a couple of these? Not that they didn't clean their ears this morning, but you think anybody in our congregation needs this? Okay. Well, let's do a little activity. How about you guys go out there and give everybody in the congregation a Q-tip right now? Okay? Can you do that? Okay, we'll go. You gonna help him? Well, Brantley, I got a question for you. Are you missing anything?
Yeah.
What are you missing? You're missing a few of these, aren't you?
Yeah.
Okay. But come on back. We'll look at that later. Well, today in our gospel, Jesus is going to appear to those disciples again. Okay? And they're out on the beach. Okay? Not the beach that we think about with ocean waves. Okay? But they're out on the beach. And Jesus tells them to cast their nets in a certain spot, and they catch all of these fish. It's like the second time in the Gospels that Jesus helps them catch a tremendous amount of fish. Okay? And he makes them breakfast with bread and fish over a charcoal fire on the beach. And then he shares with them what he's always shared with them, even more love. But you know what he tells people to do? He tells those disciples to do? What does he tell them to do with that love that he shared with him? You guys do it every day with your parents, I guarantee it. Okay, come here. Well, I'll come to you. Kate's going to show us sharing love. There we go. But before we can share that love, Jesus shared the love with them. And he tells the disciples, "Feed my lambs, tend my flock." So he's telling them that he wants them to continue doing what they had been doing for the last 3 years while they were learning under Jesus. Our job as a follower of Jesus Christ is to share God's love with everyone, even Duke fans. Sorry, couldn't resist that. Or Carolina fans, however your case may be, okay? But we're supposed to share that love with everyone. People we like, people we love, even people we don't like and we don't love sometimes. But sometimes our ears get a little clogged up and that message doesn't always sink in and we don't act the way that Jesus wants us to. So this week, let's work on being a sharer of God's love, and we're going to pass out some Q-tips. We might have enough for everybody to get one. I don't know, but I grabbed a handful. Okay, so we'll do that after we pray. Okay, all right. So will you pray with me? Good morning, God. Thank you for the gift of Jesus. And his love.
And his love.
Jesus offers us your love, mercy, and care.
Your love, mercy, and care.
So that we can share your love, mercy, and care with others. We love you, God. Amen. All right. So if you want to do this right quick, grab a few Q-tips and go out there and share them with folks. And don't forget the choir. There's a handful for you. All right. I don't bite till I eat. Yeah, I love them. There you go. All right. Here you go, Kate. Oops. I dropped them. I dropped another one. All right.
The New Testament lesson for today is from the 5th chapter of Revelations. Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels surrounding the throne, and the living creatures and the elders. They numbered myriads of thousands of thousands, singing with full voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them singing, "To the one seated on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God.
Forgot. Isabel and Tina are leading children's church, so you guys, thank you for passing out those Q-tips. The Holy Gospel according to the 21st chapter of St. John. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas, called the Twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there, with fish on it, and bread. And Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and to go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, "Follow me." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Good morning. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord. Grace and peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, we don't exactly get the golden rule in the Gospel of John. I don't know about you, but the golden rule was probably the lesson we talked about the most in Sunday school when I was growing up, that you should love your neighbor as yourself. In Sunday school, we get this rule most commonly from a story used in the Gospel of Matthew. A lawyer and some other religious leaders went to Jesus to test him, and they asked, "Teacher, which commandment in the law is greatest?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." The greatest commandment, love God and love your neighbor. But the Gospel of John has a subtle difference. In the Gospel of John, it's not just a conversation with a random religious leader trying to test him. But instead, it's around a dinner table with his closest followers. It's the night before he's going to die. In the night which Jesus is betrayed, he washes the feet of the disciples. And afterwards, he says to them, "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." It's a subtle difference, but in our gospel text today, we hear why that difference is so important. We're only a short time after Jesus' resurrection. Jesus has appeared to Mary Magdalene, to the disciples, and to Thomas. And in many of these meetings, the disciples are scared and nervous. They're hesitant to go out into the world. Last week, we heard that they stayed in a locked room for fear of being found, hiding from the religious leaders and hiding from the Roman authorities. But Jesus meets them where they are in that upper room, greeting them with peace and hope. But he also sends them into the world. Jesus tells them, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." Breathing the Holy Spirit into them so that they can go out into the world and to continue in that ministry that they had learned from Jesus. It takes them a little while and another visit from Jesus for all of them to find that courage to enter back into the world. But eventually they do leave the room. And then we have this week's gospel. They've returned to ordinary activities, with some of them being fishermen. They've returned to that sense of normalcy. But still, they seem to be avoiding the life of discipleship. They seem to be avoiding the life that they were living when they were following Jesus. And so Jesus appears to them once again, meeting them where they are. Jesus gives them advice on catching fish and calls them in for a meal. He breaks bread with them. He eats with them. It's as normal as it could possibly get for the followers of Jesus. Once again, sitting around and eating with their teacher and friend, they're returning to the familiarity of the time with Jesus so that they can get back into that life. But then comes the climax of the text. Jesus asked Peter three times, three questions, reminiscent of questions asked of Peter before. "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." "You are not one of his disciples, are you?" "I am not." "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Three times Jesus asked him this question, and three times Peter says yes. Three times Peter was asked if he was a disciple of Jesus on the night of his arrest, and three times Peter denied it. This questioning of Jesus feels pretty harsh and complicated, that I can almost hear Peter shouting in hurt at the end, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Why do you keep asking? I'm sorry that I betrayed you. I'm sorry that I failed you. I love you, and I will always love you." Is Jesus trying to demand or test his love from Peter? "Simon Peter, do you really love me more than the rest of these disciples and more than anything or anyone in the whole wide world?" It's a question I think that's sometimes asked unfairly to the Christian faith. Do you love God above and beyond all else? Do you have a personal relationship with your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? And is it more important to you than any other relationship that you have? Would you sacrifice everything? Leave everything and everyone behind for God? "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you," Peter responds. But here is the subtlety of this text, and one that I think should open our eyes to new possibilities. Jesus never said, "That's the right answer." Jesus never says, "Yes, you should love me more than the others. Yes, you should love me above all else." Instead, Jesus instructs, "Feed my lambs. Tend my sheep. Feed my sheep." As Peter presses in, hurt by the questions, wanting Jesus to know that he loves him, Jesus immediately points away from himself. "Just as I have loved you, you should also love one another." He said to them that night at the table after he had just washed their feet, "Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another." "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." "Then love others. Tend the flock. Feed the children of God. Love your neighbor. Love strangers. Love all others." Because in the Gospel of John, to love God is to love Jesus. To love Jesus is to love all others. To love God, we must love our neighbor. To live in new life, we must live for others and in service to others. Jesus asking these three questions of Peter is not to shame Peter for his past betrayal before Jesus' death. But it's a reminder that when Jesus leaves, returning to heaven, Peter and the disciples will once again be given opportunities to betray Jesus on their own. To love God is to love your neighbor, but to deny your neighbor is to betray God. Nowadays, the phrase love your neighbor has almost lost its meaning because it's used so frequently. We boil loving our neighbor down to holding the door for someone, where if you don't have something nice to say, you don't say anything at all. These are kindnesses and considerations, not love. But true love, the act of actually loving our neighbor, is difficult. These words were radical for the disciples to hear. After everything that's happened to them, everything that's happened to Jesus, and after being so afraid and wanting to hide and just make it all go away, Jesus gives them these words to follow: love one another and love your neighbor. Love the other followers who ran away. Love those who have ignored this message. Love those who have been outcast and rejected. Love those on the margins of society. Love the religious leaders that turned him over. Love the Roman authorities that sentenced him to death. Love everyone and care for them. Tend and feed my sheep, Jesus says. That's an act of love. An act of love to care for each person and ensure that they have what they need to flourish. This was a radical message for his disciples. It's a radical mission for them to carry out. To love God is to truly love your neighbor. We know that phrase. It's preached regularly. It's taught in Sunday school. You see it on bulletin boards. You see it on church signs. And it's quoted in movies. But folks, we live in a very divided world. We live in a very divided nation. Full of fear. Full of arguments. Full of hate. Full of violence, rhetoric used to harm others, and even sermons and speeches are often told to spread hate in our nation. We see it every single day. But it's to this world that Jesus enters this room. Where we are right now, he comes to us where we are, and he speaks to us, meeting us here and asking the hardest question: Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Feed my sheep. Barbara Brown Taylor wrote in An Altar in the World, "The hardest spiritual work in the world is to love our neighbor as the self, to encounter another human being, not as someone you can use, change, fix, save, enroll, convince, control, but simply as someone who can spring you from the prison of yourself, if you will allow it." This is truly what it means to love one another, to love our neighbor as they are, and to know that in that moment we can come face to face with the risen Christ and be set free to learn, to be changed, to find life, and to share that life in return. Brothers and sisters of Holly Grove Lutheran Church, do you love God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind? Then feed the sheep. Love your neighbor. Love your enemy. Love those who disagree with you. Love those who are different from you. Love those whom you've never met. Love them and be free to see the face of Christ in them. When we leave this place today and return into the wider world, we can carry this message with us. Love one another. Just as Christ has loved us, so we too should love one another. Amen.
Thank you.
Let us confess our faith together. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and then his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. God of resurrection and new life, we come before you in prayer for the church, the world, and all who are in need. Your love sustains the church and its ministries. By that love, equip youth leaders, Sunday school teachers, and all who guide formation in the church to nurture vibrant, living faith among your people. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Your abundance is made known throughout creation. Preserve oceans and rivers, lakes and so that all creatures live in them might flourish. Make us wise stewards of our local watersheds. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Your wisdom guides all who strive for justice and peace. Strengthen the world of grassroots organizers, especially among communities on the front lines of justice work. Amplify the voices of those most in need, that their leadership guides the way forward. Help us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Your compassion surrounds all who are in need. We pray for all people experiencing poverty and food insecurity, and for all struggling with debt and economic uncertainty. Reassure all who experience hopelessness or need your tender care, especially the family and friends of Bill Curry, the family and friends of Gene Kepley, Paul and Carolina, Bobby and Jana, John, Janine, Rosala, Eddie, Pam, our friends and family listed in the bulletin, and those we now name aloud on our lips or silently in our hearts.
Jana, Donna,
hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
You welcome all people with grace. Make this a community of radical hospitality where all feel loved and celebrated. Show us how to better welcome visitors and bless the ministry of hospitality in this place. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We praise you for the witness of your saints of all times and places. May their lives of faith guide us in our own journeys with you today and every day. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We commend these and all our prayers to you, O God, trusting that you are always with us. In the name of Jesus Christ, our risen Savior.
Amen.
Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Please share a sign of that peace. Let us pray together. Praise and thanks to you, Holy God, for by your word you made all things. You spoke light into darkness, called forth beauty from chaos, and brought life into being. For your word of life, O God,
we give you thanks and praise.
By your word, you called your people Israel to tell of your wonderful gifts, freedom from captivity, water on the desert journey, a pathway home from exile, wisdom for life with you. For your word of life, O God,
we give you thanks and praise.
Through Jesus, your word made flesh, you speak to us and call us to witness forgiveness through the cross, life to those entombed by death, the way of your self-giving love. For your word of life, O God,
we give you thanks and praise.
Send your spirit of truth, O God, rekindle your gifts within us, renew our faith, increase our hope, and deepen our love for the sake of a world in need. Faithful to your word, O God, draw near to all who call on you. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be honor and glory forever. Lord, unite us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The triune God who was, who is, and who is to come, sovereign, Savior, and Spirit, light your way with resurrection dawn, now and always.
Amen. Now let us say our mission statement. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world.
Oh,
Hallelujah. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Go in peace. In Christ, you are made you, Aria.
Thanks be to God.